That's a nice title, isn't it? Alive in Jesus. Most of you, I think, today, were not here a few weeks ago when we talked about death. Each of us deals with death at one time or another, and sometimes more often. Just had a funeral yesterday in this community. We talked about death, and one of the things that is important is we understand what death is. I think we need to understand what death is in order to understand what it means to be alive. And so that day when we were studying that, we came to understand that a definition, and I think the definition of death, is separation. Mostly we think about physical death. That is when the soul, the me, the you, is separated from the body. Some people think that's all there is. The soul's gone, the body's here, that's death. But that's only one kind of death. And in that message, we also talked about Adam and Eve. And you remember that when God brought them, put them into the Garden of Eden, He said, on the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. So don't do it. And they did. And then most of us would look at it and say, but they didn't die. Yes, they did. At that instant, they were separated from God. And if you read the story, you understand that they knew they were separated. They didn't want to be close to God. And they hid from Him. And they were separated too from each other. They realized they were naked. They covered their bodies. Because there was no longer that intimate closeness. They were separated from because of sin. And that is death. So, that connection then, between mankind and God, is life. And so now we can begin to understand, if we know what death is, what life is. Life then is the connection between two good things. That is, when we live a physical life, we have this connection of soul and body. But if we are Christians, we also have this connection of soul and God. Now, let's just look at some of the lives that we know. When we say these people are alive, they have a soul, they have a body, they're connected. And yet, if you look at their lives, they're the walking dead. They're looking for something more. They're saying, is this all there is? Because they are still dead. They are not connected with God. And if they continue in that disconnectedness, death, then when their soul leaves their body, then they're really disconnected. And there is nothing good connected with them. Understand, all good comes from God. So if you are separated from God, then you don't have access to anything good. While you live this physical life here on earth, you have access to the good things of earth, possibly. But you're missing the whole spiritual life that's available to you. This connection to God. Now think about the absence of all good. No more freedom from pain. No comfort. No freedom from too cold. No peace of mind. Think of anything that you can think of that you think is good. and understand that without God, it's not there. And so if you continue to be disconnected from God, then when you are finally separated from your body, what do you have left except the absence of anything good? Now, when we say the Apostles' Creed, we say Jesus suffered and died. He descended into hell. And people want to argue about what that means. But when he was on the cross, one of the last things he said was, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, Jesus experienced true death at that point. Separation from God. The absence of anything good. And he did that on our behalf. So, I'd like us to study this morning the third chapter of Colossians. If you want to follow along, it's page 1167 in your pew Bibles. And I would like you, whenever you hear the word death or died or dead, think separated from. And as I read there, if you hear the words life or alive, think connected to. It's a fairly lengthy portion, so it's important that you think through it that way. Then I don't have to reiterate everything. Colossians 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ, that is, made alive. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, that is, to the world. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, separate from, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That's the connecting mechanism. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, Do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Now listen carefully. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. This is one of my favorite chapters. I guess there are a lot of them, but this in particular, and particularly because there are two things in this chapter that I find so true, so relevant. Number one, we are family. We are not alone. As Christians, there are no longer those divisions and separations that are so evident out in our society. Verse 11 said this, here, and that means as Christians, as the church, the body of Christ, here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Now let me rephrase that in modern English that fits here in Winnebago. Here, there is no brown or white. No Reformed or Lutheran or Christian Reformed or Methodist. No American or Mexican or Indian or Asian. No employed or unemployed. But Jesus is connected with everyone. More than that, he lives within us. We are, as verse 15 says, one body. That means we're connected to each other. We're glued together with love. That means we're connected, we are alive in Jesus. You see, we can't do that by ourselves. We need to be connected with Jesus in order to become alive and to start to experience new life. This is what the church is supposed to be. And look around you. You see, we've got a mix. Today we even have Canadians with us. These are folks from Ontario. And so we've got people of the United States. We've got people of Canada. We've got Ho-Chunk. We've got Omaha. We've got all kinds of differences that now have been put aside, and we are one, connected with one another through Jesus. Now the second truth you'll find starting in verse 17 and finishing in 23 and 24. And here it is. I can be a success. And sometimes when we try to measure success, we do it all wrong. If I do those things that God enables me to do, calls me to do, and gives me opportunity to accomplish, then I'm a success. I don't care if other people look at us and try to measure us against a different standard. If God has given you something that you ought to do, and you do it, you're a success. Now, what is the work of God? John 6:29. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. That's Jesus. Paul said it this way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's pretty simple. That's all there is to it. You don't have to be here on Sunday morning. You should be. This is part of the connection. If you aren't here on a Sunday morning or in a similar assembly of the body of Christ, then you're missing out on the connection that is life. And if the people that gather here together are not willing to connect with one another, to take advantage of the connection, the glue of love that God gives us, then the church is not what the church ought to be. And it's not encouraging for others to come in. Because God calls us to love one another, to glue each other together, to connect with Him and with one another. So let me touch back now on that measurement of our success. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. That's it, pure and simple. So, why are you here? What did God send you to Winnebago to accomplish? It may appear that God sent you to paint a wall, or to knock down a wall, or to wash a window. But I want to tell you, that's not why He sent you here. Or maybe you think that God sent you to Winnebago to pay for some of the materials that we need here, or to pay for the ministry, or maybe to help renovate the apartment. But I want to tell you, that's not why God sent you here. Maybe you came to Winnebago for the powwow. Or maybe you came to visit relatives. That's not why God sent you here. All of those things seem very reasonable. And on the surface, we think, well, yeah, but that's why I came here. But it isn't. God sent you here to accomplish the good works that He prepared beforehand for you to do. And that means that He gave you an ability to do something. And then He expected you, well, let me read this from 1 Corinthians 12, 4-7. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now listen. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. You see, God sent you here to do something for the common good, for the Church of Jesus Christ. And He gave you the ability to do your little part. And so if that's washing windows, wash the window to the best of your ability, because it benefits somebody else. If you go work for an elderly couple and you pull weeds, it's not the weeds that get pulled that's important. It's the fact that you are doing what God gave you the ability to do, and you're doing it to the best of your ability. Those weeds are nothing more than an opportunity. Some of us have been blessed with finances, and God says, use them for the body of Christ. Some of us have been gifted with skills, and God says, use them. If it's woodwork, or if it's sweeping the floor, or if it's whatever it is, plumbing, heating. Maybe God gave you the ability to just sit next to someone and comfort them. But you see, the doing what God sent you to do is the important thing. Not accomplishing the fact of pulling the weed, or painting the wall, or knocking down the wall, or whatever it is. And then, the really great thing about this is that even to the extreme, if you're doing what God called you to do and somebody chases you off and you can't accomplish that job, you have still been successful. Because your success is not related to finishing the task before you. You're called to do it to the best of your ability. But the best of your ability is what you're called to do. And if you can't stick around and do it, if you get driven off, or if you get cursed for it, yet you have accomplished what God sent you to do, and you are successful in the mission that God called you to do. So when you get home, whether it's today or next week, think, what did God call me to do today, this week? Did He call me to paint a wall, or to drive a van, or whatever it is? Or did He call me to do what I am capable of doing to the best of my ability? And if you understand that's what He called you to do, then you have been successful in your day or your week. So here's the whole thing in a nutshell. When you are connected with Jesus, alive, then He should be the motivation behind everything that you do. You're working for Him, not for someone else. You are a success when you do what He wants, regardless of what anybody else may think. But you'll never know what God's plan is, what He's called you to do, until you are connected with Him. Alive in Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, fill us with Your Spirit. Connect with us. Motivate us. Use us to do those things that You've provided opportunity for us to do. Fill us with Your Spirit. Bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.